story I told about myself last week in case you didn't miss it, because somebody made a meme of the story this last week after I, so if you were with us last week, I talked actually a little more openly than I thought I had planned, and I talked a little bit about my upbringing. I talked about how I was raised in a very competitive family. I talked a little bit about my experiences with sports and with confrontation, and then I took you all the way back to 2002. Can you remember back that far? That's been over a decade ago. 2002, we went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, kind of Tulsa, Oklahoma, back when I was in Bible college playing soccer for my Bible college team, and there we were on the field playing against a secular school who was out to get us. I didn't like it, and so basically, if you remember the story, I retaliated against this other player in a mean way. I was kind of proud of it. I got rebuked, and so, anyways, if we could put up the meme that somebody here in Schiff made. Now, so it's a little bit glitchy here, but it says, "Pastor Joey be like, kick me again and see what happens." I was kicked on the soccer field. Was that the original one? Is that the original one? Oh, I thought it said something else, but that's all right. It's close enough. Same thing. Same difference. All right. So, but anyways, so that's right. So anyways, even though I had had the upbringing I had, I experienced the things that I experienced, everything was true, was legitimate. I still had a choice in that moment whether or not I was going to retaliate. And what God would have had me to do was not retaliate, but walk in His ways, walk in His principles. And so that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the decision, making a decision, making sure we're making the godly decisions, the godly choices for our lives each and every day that are in front of us. And if you're taking notes today, the title of the message today is The Decision, and this is part number two. We've been pulling all of these verses that these series, I should say, and the things that we've been talking about out of an in-depth study of the book of Jude. But we have been talking about a decision. If you remember, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, they're just going to pop it up on the overhead screen for now. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20 say this: "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." Verse number 20 says, "that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to them." God has set before you and I life and death. There is blessing and there is cursing that you and I can choose every single day. How many of you here raise your hand and say, "I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose blessing"? Hey, listen, today's the day to choose what is right. Today's the day to say yes to Jesus. Today is the day to stand for what you know to be true so that you can be everything God's called you to be and do everything that he's called you to do. I like this verse. I want to pop this one up as well. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." For the wages, so today, hey, listen, choose life. It's that simple. It's that easy. Listen, I'm not here to say, and we said this last week, nobody's here to say that your excuse isn't real, that your experience isn't legitimate. But today, that aside, today, make the right decision and choose life. You see, each and every one of us today has been given a free will from God, a free will by God. And every one of us have the ability to make a decision, to make a choice to follow God. I love that song that we sang today. It said, "When I don't understand, still I will choose you." God, when I don't understand, in the darkest of hours, listen, when everything has happened that I didn't expect to happen, but it did, God, I'm still going to choose you. God, I'm still going to follow you. God, you are the way. You are the truth, God. You are the life, and I'm going to do what you would have me to do because I have a free will, and regardless of how I feel. Listen, I it's a little bit quiet here in the house today, but I really believe that God is looking for people who say, you know what, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what I might be thinking at the moment, regardless of everything, my circumstances, my situations, God, I'm still going to choose to follow you. I'm going to choose to do what's right, and God, I'm going to end up where you would have me to end up. And as we talked about last week, again, a little bit more of a recap, we talked about that every decision that you and I make, we will be responsible for. We're accountable for. And you know what? One day we will stand before God and we will give an account for, the Bible says, the things done in the body. The things done in the body. Now listen, today I hope that nobody here is discouraged by these thoughts, but rather encouraged, hey, to go ahead and make your decision today to follow God in every area of your life. Can I get an amen? All right, so if you brought your Bibles, let's go to the book of Jude now. The book of Jude. And here in the book of Jude, I want you to kind of see today the book of Jude as a whole, if you will. We've been going kind of line upon line, precept and upon precept. And I want you to see it as a whole so that as we continue, you know exactly where Jude is coming from, where he's going. It's really cool. And here in Jude chapter 1, verse number 3, Jude comes along and he says here, hey, I'm writing to Christians. He's writing to Christians. And he says here, you know, I'm writing. And in my writing, I really wanted to write to you about our common salvation. Anybody here like finding other people with things in common? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an island all to myself. Isolated, cut off, selfish, all right? That might be a message for another time. But he comes along and he says, hey, listen, I wanted to write to you to talk about what we had in common, our salvation in Jesus Christ. But when I sat down to write, I found it necessary to exhort you to kind of address a different issue, to exhort you to contend for the faith. We talked a number of weeks back. Hey, listen, there's some contending that you and I are going to have to do as Christians to hold on to the faith that has been established in our hearts and our lives, to hold on to what God has put and what God has delivered to you through the Word of God, what God has done in your heart, what God has done in your life by the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to, over the course of your life, contend for that. The Bible says it this way, to hold fast to what is true. You see, there's a whole world out there. The Bible talks about, hey, there's a devil out there who would love to see nothing more than for you to abandon what God has tried to establish in your life. And so you're going to have to do a little bit of wrestling. You're going to have to do a little bit of fighting, a little bit of challenging, a little bit of contending, if you will, in your life to make sure that you hold on to all that God has for you. And then he says here in verse number 5, you need to understand the seriousness of this because, you see, there was once a people of God back in the Old Testament, saved by God, just like you've been saved by God. Anybody here born again? Anybody here a Christian? Anybody here? All right. So he says, this is serious because there was once a people of God who were saved by God, just as you have been saved by God. But you know what? What ended up happening is at the end of their life, they ended up abandoning their faith. They ended up abandoning the beliefs, the things that God was doing in their life. And as a result, they were destroyed. And so he says, this needs to be something that you pay attention to, something that you understand is serious. Because if you're going to do the same thing that they did and you are led away from the things of God, you will have the same kind of outcome that they had. And so let me take just a few moments to tell you a little bit about the story. Everybody here knows the story of Moses. Everybody here has probably seen the movie The Prince of Egypt, all right? Everybody knows the children of Israel in slavery 400 years in a place called Egypt. And then God uses a man by the name of Moses, and the Bible says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God delivers the children of Israel out from the Egyptians. I'll tell you what, if you look at this story, you will see that God worked miracles, signs, and wonders in front of everybody in delivering these people. I remember one point in time there in the story, Moses actually approaches Pharaoh and he says, hey, this is what God says. He says, let my people go. And Moses is like, you're right. What God do you serve? Who is this? Is he really God? And so Moses, commanded by God, takes his staff, throws it down on the ground, and it turns into a snake. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a preacher come, throw down the staff, and it turned into a snake, he'd make a believer out of me. All my doubts, all my worries, all my fears, they're settled. All right, and something interesting happens. The magicians of the time of Pharaoh, they also throw down their staffs. They all turn to, three of them, they all turn to a snake as well. Then the Bible says that the snake of the staff of Moses swallowed the other three whole, opened up its mouth. You got to get a pick and swallow. Then Moses picks it up by the tail and it turns back into a staff. All right, we're talking about the plagues that took place. And then we're talking about, so Pharaoh says, all right, I'm going to let these people go. Moses leads them to the edge of the sea, and the Egyptians decide, you know what, we change our mind, we want them back. And so God, basically, to make a long story short, God splits the sea right in half, makes the water, the Bible says, stand up on its ends like walls. And the children of Israel walk across the sea on dry ground. Not muddy ground, not soggy ground, not wet, but dry ground. The Egyptians decide, you know what, we're going to follow after them, we're going to get them. They get to the Israelites get to the other side. The Egyptians get right in the middle of the sea. And the Bible says with one blast of his nostrils, he cleans out the entire Egyptian army. One fell swoop. Then the children of Israel, they go off into the wilderness. There they are. And the Bible says that God covered them from the sun with a cloud by day. And God lit the evening with a pillar of fire by night. We're talking God rained down bread from heaven. He fed them with bread. And then they get to the border of the promised land that God said, hey, listen, this is the land I'm giving to you. I want you to go in there. I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to wipe out all your enemies. I'm going to give it to you. Now, how many of you would be inclined to believe that God was going to do after you had seen all of that for yourself? All right? And the Bible says that after the spies checked out the land, they come back, bring a negative report, and the children of Israel decide, we're not going to believe God. We're going to do something else. And the Bible says that they were destroyed. They abandoned their faith. They abandoned what God had for them, even though, and so today, he says again, he's saying here in verse number 5, we need to understand the seriousness of this. In verse number 6, hey, listen, just to make sure that everybody's clear, hey, not only the people of God of old, but the angels. Hey, did you know that the devil was once in heaven with a third of the angels, hanging out with God, chilling with God, doing the things of God, enjoying the presence of God, the glory of God, yet the devil got booted from heaven along with a third of the angels? Why? Because they did not keep their original abode, their dwelling place, what God had for them. They abandoned what God had for them, and as a result, kicked out of heaven. Verse number 6 says that these angels are reserved under everlasting chains in darkness. Then verse number 7, Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were sexually insane, lost it, gone, done. And listen, I don't know about you, but I sometimes I look out at the world that we live in today, and we're not quite as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, but you know, we're pretty close. And you need to understand today that sexual immorality is not something that God approves of. And listen, just because I love Pastor Luke's message a few weeks ago, because he talked about how there'll be religious people and there'll be politicians who come along and teach things and say things that do not line up with the ways of God. And you and I need to understand that just because society and just because a community, just because a Democrat or a Republican says that something is okay or that something is good, does not make it okay, does not make it good. What God says is good, what God says is right, and his ways are the ways that we're supposed to follow. And here in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was an open thing. It was an okay thing for you just to go out and be sexually immoral. Now, I don't want to spend any time talking to you about how immoral it was, but it was gross. You and I need to understand that just because a vote is passed, just because legislation is passed, people vote, people agree. Hey, can I get a little bit more intimate with you? Just because your family says it's okay, just because mom and dad condone your decision does not mean it's okay. What God says is good, what God says is right, and his ways we're going to have to follow, irregardless of where the world goes. And the Bible says that as a result, they suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. Then in verses 8 now, 8 through 15, going to kind of go a little bit quick here. Verses 8 through 15, the Bible talks about, Jude talks about, all right, these people, this is what their lifestyle will look like. I kind of skipped verse 4. I forgot about verse 4. Verse 4 says why he's writing to them to contend for the faith, because people have crept in unnoticed who are going to lead them away from the things of God. And then he goes on, we talked about it. In verse number 8 through 15, he talks about what their lifestyles will look like, what their end will be. Then in verse number 16 through 19, Jude talks about that this has been predicted by the apostles of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, this abandoning, this walking away from the things of God has been something that has taken place from the beginning of time. And it has been going on. This is not a new thing. This has been going on, and you understand, hey, listen, it's going to go on today. So make sure you don't follow in that example. Be on guard. Look at your neighbor and say, on guard. On guard. I always love Three Musketeer movies and Zorro. They pull out the sword and you know it's on. On guard. right? You and I, so you and I need to be on guard. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know about you, but I'm not gonna let him devour me, and you don't have to either. If you're on guard, if you're vigilant, if you're sober, if you're diligent, if you're committed today to the things of God, hey, listen today, if you are committed, if you have made a decision in your life, you know, I'm going to follow the things of God. I don't care what the world has to say. I'm going to do what God has for me. Guess what? You won't be devoured. You won't be devoured. But if you and I walk about life just kind of, just and we're not on guard, we're not sober, we're not diligent, then you know what? We run the risk of being devoured. We run the risk of abandoning the things that God has established in us, the beliefs that we have. Now, I want to say this because it really, if you look at all these people listed here, all the different groups, all the different individuals listed here, you'll find that they have something in common. Now, we've already kind of discussed one, and that is that all of them had a decision. They made the choice to abandon what they abandoned, to walk away from what they walked away from. Okay, nobody made them. It was their choice. It was their call. It will be the same for us. Now, I would venture to say this, that in 90% of your Bibles, here in the book of Jude, you will either find one of two words, the word apostasy or the word apostate, all right? Apostasy, speaking of a group of people, apostate, speaking of an individual. You'll find it somewhere in the footnotes, in the side notes, in the center notes, in the, I don't know, in the chapter title or opening, you'll find that word. And today, you might say, Pastor Joe, what is an apostate? What is apostasy? What are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. An apostate, if you guys could pop it up on the overhead screen for people to take some notes today. Apostate is one who abandons their faith. One who abandons their faith. Now, if you were here during our faith series, you'll remember, can anybody help me? You probably can't, that's all right. Because I don't remember back that far the messages I've heard. But does anybody remember today what faith is? Remember we had that? A persuasion, a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon what we've heard. Simply what you believe. All right, so we're talking about people today abandoning their beliefs. Abandoning their beliefs. I don't know about you, but there are areas of my life where I have realized over the process of time, hey, there's been some things I've walked away from. Not even necessarily meaning to, but I walked away from them. I kind of let that slip. You know, if you're in here today and you would recognize some areas of your life where you'd say, you know what, Pastor Joe, I'm not quite believing the way that I used to believe, but man, I got good news for you today. Our God is a good God. Our God is a God who can reestablish you. Our God is a God who can revive you. Our God is a God who can restore you. Our God is a God who can lift you up. Our God is a God who can make sure you got what it takes to get the job done. All right, but God doesn't want to spend all of his time bringing us back to life. He wants to keep us strong. He wants to keep us strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, okay? And so, if you're in a place where you feel like you're slipping, the good news today is that God wants to strengthen you in the beliefs that you may have walked away from. Now listen, you may be in here and you may be even feeling yourself in an area where, man, I don't know what I believe about Jesus anymore. I'm kind of, my ear is kind of leaning over here and maybe I'm an atheist. I don't know. Maybe I believe, I'm not. And today you need to make sure that you take a look at that, because what's happening is you're slipping. It could be something that serious. It could be something very small. Something like, oh man, I got something going on in my body, and I do believe that by his stripes I'm healed, but I just don't know. And so God doesn't want you to slip in any belief, in any faith that you have, in any area of your life, neither small or great. All right? God wants to make sure, again, you've got what it takes to get the job done. All right? An apostate is one who abandons their faith. This is what these people have done. Now today, the Bible gives us a couple of reasons why people abandon what they believe. I want to share those with you. They are this. People abandon their beliefs because of A, outward circumstances. Both good and bad. Outward circumstances. Outward situations. The stuff that is going on in their life. You'll find that in difficult times, the Bible's very clear, in difficult times, people are tempted to abandon what God is establishing in your life. Listen. See, there's some... No, I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Jesus. All right, look. In good times and bad times, there is this, if you will, opportunity to abandon what you believe in difficult times, in good times. Sometimes I wonder about these people like Justin Bieber. Sometimes I wonder about these people like Beyonce. They start off, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. He's my everything. And then the next thing you know, they're living the life that they live. You know, Beyonce on her first album, I hate to pick on anybody, but Beyonce on her first album said, I will not compromise my Christianity. Where is she at today? She's in a place where she has abandoned. Listen, she married a man. Oh, Jesus. She married a man who just, at his last award show. I hate even saying this, but I think that you're adult enough to handle it. At his last award show, he wore a shirt of the devil having sex with Jesus. She was once in a place, now she has found herself in a place where she has abandoned the things of God. Just these people, sometimes I wonder too about them if they were ever Christian to begin with, but I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I try to be a loving person, but what is that? And you know, I wonder if it weren't for the good times, because of the money, because of the fortune, because of the fame. The Bible calls it the pride of life. And you know, if we're not careful in good times in our life, there's this opportunity to walk away from the things of God because you know what? I got it all going on. Everything's okay. I have what it takes in and of myself to take care of myself. Look at my job, look at my career, look at my house, look at my car. I don't need church. I don't need to read my Bible. I can have a relationship with God at home. Why? Because everything is hunky dory. Oh, what about difficult times? Because of trials, because of tribulation. The Bible says that when tribulation arises for the word's sake, people abandon what they believe. You're in a difficult situation. And as a result, you're just like, I just can't keep up with this Christian thing. It's too hard. I can't handle the persecution. I can't handle the challenges that are happening, that are taking place. You know, I'm just going to go and I'm going to live the easy life. And so because of difficult situations, people walk away from the things of God. B, because of false teaching. I like to say it this way. I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. Because of thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, people abandon their faith. What is a teaching? It's something that somebody presents to you by word, all the time, by word. All right? And it's in the form, and it comes through word, but it's a thought, it's an idea, and it's a suggestion that is presented to your brain that when you choose to embrace, ultimately it leads you away from the things of God. Listen, I don't know if you realize this or not, but things are coming at you and I all the time in media, and TV shows, in music, family members, friends, coming at you and teachings, philosophies, ideas, reasonings. It's okay to move in with your boyfriend or girlfriend before you get married. That's normal now. If you're gonna marry them anyway, it's okay. It's not okay. That's a lifestyle that's being presented in thought, idea, and suggestion to get you to walk away from what you know to be true. Did you know that people who move in together before they get married, listen, for every couple out there, Christian and non-Christian alike, 50% chance of divorce. For those who move in together before they get married, it goes up to 75% chance that they get divorced once they get married if they moved in together. God's ways will always be better. God's ways will, but what is it? It's a thought. It's an idea. It's a teaching that causes that comes in and you embrace it. It causes you to abandon all these people all throughout this chapter here in Jude. The children of Israel walked away because the spies said, these people in the promised land, too big, too mighty. They're going to kick our butts. A third of the angels, devil came to them, said, dude, I got it going on. Follow me. All right? All throughout here, teachings that cause people to walk away from the things of God. All right, now if this is true, and it is, we have some decisions to make. I've only got 2 points for you today. They are these. We must decide to, number one, strengthen our faith. You and I need to make sure that we're strong in the things that we believe. We said it this way actually during our faith series. This is really a repeat point, but it's one that we need to have repeated. God uses repetition to reinforce. God uses repetition to strengthen. All right? We need to feed our faith. We need to strengthen ourselves in the things that we believe. Hey, listen, there's some Bible reading I need to do. There is some, confessing I need to do. I need to put some of those old verses that I used to love so much on my mirror in the morning. I need to say them out loud. I need to say, by his stripes, I am healed. I need to say to myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need to say to myself that God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. See, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Ooh, I believe it, Jesus. I believe it. And you need to encourage yourself, and you need to strengthen yourself in the things of God. Some of you need to pray some more. You need to take some time. You need to pray in the Holy Spirit, which Jude talks about a little bit later, which we'll get to. There's some things that you and I need to decide to do, be committed to, be diligent to make sure that we are strong in the things that we believe. You and I cannot afford to just go through life and expect that we're going to mature, that we're going to stay strong just because the day goes by. We must strengthen our faith. In Acts chapter 14, we're going to look at verses 21 and 22. Acts chapter 14, before I read these verses, let me just give you the background story really quick. But in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, or actually in this chapter, we see Paul the Apostle on a missionary journey. Paul the Apostle, he comes to the first city on his missionary journey here, and the Bible says he preaches the gospel. The Bible says that some of the people that heard him believed. Some of the people who heard him did not believe. All right, so he kind of got like a 50-50 split. But then something interesting happens. The people who didn't believe, didn't like what he had to say so much, they decided to rise up and kick him out of the city. Didn't bother Paul. He just went on to the next city. All right? He went on to the next city. And the Bible says, again, he preached the gospel there with Barnabas. Those who heard them, of them, some of them believed. Some of them did not believe. And again, the people who didn't believe didn't like what they had to say so much that they decided to rise up again and kick him out of the city. So Paul goes to the third city, preaches the gospel. In this city, the people were like, oh my God, you guys are amazing. Let us worship you. And Paul's like, no. You need to worship God. And the Bible says that the people from the last two cities didn't like what they had to say so much that they followed them. They stirred up the crowd in that third city to rise up against Paul and Barnabas. They took Paul outside the city, stoned him, and left him for dead. The disciples come around. Paul is raised from basically dead. And Paul goes into the fourth city, all right? Preaches the gospel there. Now, let me just take a time out to say this. If I came here tonight, God bless all of you, but you didn't like anything that I had to say so much that you all rose up, Pastor Luke being the leader. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Pastor Luke. Took me outside, stoned me, and left me for dead. Let me just be very clear with you. I ain't ever coming back. I retire. I resign. My ministry here at the Rock Church is over. I ain't ever coming back. I'm not taking a chance again. You know what's interesting about Paul is that after they rose him up, he went to that fourth city and preach the gospel. The Bible says he went back to the last three cities. Verse 21 and 22 says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Watch what verse number 22 says. strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Paul believes so much in strengthening others' faith, in having an individual's faith strengthened, that he actually went back and he risked his life to see to it that these people would stay strong and continue in what was established in their life by God. Listen, don't you know, let me put it to you like this. Don't you know that if those people were so unwilling to hear what Paul had to say that they rose up against him and kicked him out of the city? Don't you know that when they went back to the city, they were looking for the people who believed as a result of Paul's preaching? And don't you know that they put them through tribulation? Listen, if I was so mad at what Pastor Luke had to say and I threw him out, all right, and I heard that Luisa believed what he had to say, I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna be like in Luisa's face, like, Luisa, don't you dare listen to him. Don't you know, come on, somebody, think about this. If they were so against Paul that they would throw him out of the city, don't you know that when they went back, they were persecuting those who believed as a result of his? And so Paul goes back and says, hey, listen, I don't want these hard times to get you to abandon what you believe. He risked his life. He risked his life. How do I strengthen my faith? We talked about that. By feeding it, by rehearsing it, by spending time in the Word of God, by rehearsing God's promises, by going back and remembering the hope that God has established in our life. All right, we must decide to live a lifestyle of strengthening our faith, number one. Number two today, this is our last point, we must guard our thought life. Listen, if we're not gonna follow the example of these people in Jude, if we're gonna make sure that we live a life and we don't abandon the things of God, we're gonna have to guard our thought life. We're gonna have to make a decision to be on guard in our mind. Let me make this statement to you, and it's an important one. Thought always precedes action. Thought always precedes action. You will never do something without first thinking about it. Nobody here, listen, I remember when I was in junior high. My mom made a deal with me. All right, you're going into the eighth grade, son. If you can go the whole year without a detention, I will buy you a brand new dirt bike. I don't have the dirt bike. I think like the second or third week I got a detention. But you know what? I never showed up to the detention and thought to myself, oh, how did I get here? No, I knew exactly how I got there. I knew exactly what I did. It all started with a thought. Okay, some of you are still looking at me like, here you are. Pretty you. In your nice car. Cruising on the freeway. Somebody cuts you off. All of a sudden, this thought comes. And you see yourself push down full throttle on the gas. It's like literally in a split second, and you see yourself catch up to that person side by side. And you see yourself let them know you think they're number one. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And before you know it, because a thought was presented up here and you embraced it. If you would have stopped it up here, if you'd have done the right thing up here, you never would have ended up there. You're number one. Next thing you know, a second thought comes to you. I recognize the person in that other car. They go to the Rock! It's Pastor Luke! No, I'm just kidding. How did I get here? It started with a thought, with an idea, with a suggestion. And because you embraced it, that thought led you somewhere. Hello, somebody. God never intended for you and I to ever live life without a filter on our brain. Just an open funnel, just an open door, just an open window to whatever wants to come in. You and I should have a filter of God's word. You and I should have a filter of the present. You and I should have a filter of the things of God. And by God, when something comes in here that is not correct, it's time to cast it down. It's time to pray in tongues. It's time to put on some worship music. It's time to make sure I don't let I don't entertain that thing and let it have its way with my life. Now, let me make this statement to you. It is impossible to think a lifeless thought. Absolutely impossible. It is impossible for you to think for any thought. Should you choose to embrace that thought would take you nowhere. It is impossible to think a lifeless thought. All right? I need some honest people in the house of God today. You lie, you fry. No, just kidding. All right, can we all be honest? All right, I'll raise my hand too. How many of you, this is real easy, how many of you have ever been inside a bank? You go there, you make withdrawals, you make deposits, and you go about your merry way. All right, put your hands down. I'll raise my hand first to help everybody. How many of you here, in all honesty, have ever had the thought, they're at the cash register, and you're looking at the glass, you're looking at the open door behind the glass, and you think to yourself, I could knock this place off. I could rob this joint clean. And nobody'd ever get me. Or I know I could reach behind that register and pull out all those. I asked the youth group this, a 13-year-old girl. She cut me off in the middle of my message. Yeah, Pastor Joe, I thought, how far could I run before they get me? She was honest. Now, you might say today, Pastor Joe, that's the most ridiculous thing ever. It is a ridiculous thought, isn't it? All right, probably every one of us have had the thought, I could knock this place off. I could get out clean. Nobody would know. Right? You start looking around at the cameras. He's being... Start looking around. Now, as stupid as that is, listen to me, the point is this. It's impossible to think a lifeless thought. As stupid as that is, you and I both know people who have embraced that thought. Isn't that right? Where did it land them? Some of them in jail, some of them dead. Hello, so it's impossible to think a lifeless thought. You and I need to be on guard. Because you see, what you allow up here has the potential to take you away from, bring you to a place where you abandon. How many youth have I known, atheists today, believing all kinds, if they would have just done the right thing up here to begin with and taken the word of God and casted those imaginations and those things down, I bet today that they would be on the right track. And listen, God hasn't given up on anybody. God is not looking to damn anybody, all right, if I could say that. God is looking to help everybody, but today. And so, listen, I don't want anybody afraid. I don't want anybody worried. I don't want anybody thinking, oh, my God, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. I just want you to be encouraged. God wants you to be encouraged in the book of Jude. That's why it's full of the warning that it is, to make sure that you're strong in your faith and to make sure that you are guarding your thought life, to make sure that you're guarding your thought life. You know, the statement has been made to me, who you date is who you'll marry. And it's true. I dated my wife. The next thing I knew, I got married. I wanted to marry my wife. I don't mean that in a bad way. But I remember waking up my wedding day. Can I just be honest with everybody? I remember waking up my wedding day thinking to myself, oh my God, what am I doing? I was scared. That's why they make the joke at weddings that, you know, they take pictures with somebody holding, you know, the groom's coat to every, don't look at me like I'm crazy, all right? One day you'll remember. It's not a notebook story, all right? You'll think the same thing. Some of you, after the wedding night is over, you'll look at the person next to you and you'll think, oh, my God. Help me, Jesus. All right. In the same way, the thoughts, if I could say it to you this way, the thoughts that you date, you will marry. Does that make sense to you? The thoughts that you entertain, that you play with, you'll find them, you'll find yourself embracing. All right, last scripture for today, and then we're going to close. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, my people, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't fit into their mold. Don't be like them. Do not be like the people in Jude. Do not abandon the things of God. How? It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you've ever seen the movie Judah Ben-Hur, in this movie there's a Roman soldier and he's upset about the fact that Christianity is spreading. If you know anything about history, you know that the Romans eventually came to a place where they hated the Christians because the Christians wouldn't hail Caesar as king. They hailed Jesus as king. And so in this movie, they show this Roman soldier, a centurion, and he's discussing with his staff how they deal with the issue of spreading Christianity, all right? And they're having a discussion, well, if this person is a king, then where's his army? Because we want to fight his army. We'll take out his army. And they're like, no, it's not an army. It's an idea. Christianity's idea. And the Roman says, how do you fight an idea? How do you fight an idea? I'll tell you how to fight an idea with another idea. And it's really funny, but that's what Romans is saying. The ideas and the thoughts, the suggestions, the things that have been submitted to you, replace them with God's idea. Replace them with God's word, and that will transform your life. Come on, if you got something good from God's word today, you can give him a great big praise.